ask him to help me with the lesson. I hope I do a much better job than the last time I was up here. Anyway, God, we thank you for the awesome privilege to be in your house once again with your precious people. God, help us to love your word, to honor your word, to hold the truth all the days of our lives. We love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name. I don't know if any of you read where the guy, you know, summer is really hard for traveling. And the lines, I guess, are exorbitantly long. And people in the Delta counter had to wait quite a while. And finally, one gentleman, he just pulled his baggage out and went right up to the ticket counter. And the Delta agent said, "Sir, you have to wait your turn just like everybody else." And she said, "Now you need to get back in your place." And she said, "We will help you. We're doing the best we can. We will help you as soon as you are next in line." And he looked at her and said, "I don't think you know who I am. Do you know who I am?" And she picked up her little intercom phone and said, "This is the Delta ticket counter. We have a man here that does not know who he is. If anyone knows who he is, please come and claim him." The who's who doesn't want to wait. But you know, the non-who's like me, we don't want to wait either. Nobody wants to wait. It's not one of the most endearing things that we want to do. Oh, let me be the one to go and wait. But I tell my children all the time, I said, you know, life is pray and wait. Or at least it seems like that way for me. You know, we can't wait to go to school, can't wait to get out of school, can't wait for your license, can't wait for, can't wait, can't wait, can't wait, can't wait, can't wait. We're always waiting. But yet, waiting is a command. You know, we all know this scripture, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." It almost sounds like, well, it's optional. But really, it's a command, and we see that in Psalms 27:14. It says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." But how many of us really, really think about when we actually teach ourselves to meditate? I'm talking to me because I'm not a big meditator. You know, that's, you kind of got to envision yourself as a cow. You know, some of us harder to do that than others, but you kind of have to envision yourself as a cow when you meditate, because a cow chews his cud. The cow eats something, gets a little moist, swallows it, brings it back up, chews on it again. That's what you do when you meditate. You got to keep chewing on that until you can swallow it and assimilate it, and then it can bring forth something really good and nutritious and something that will keep you alive. And as we wait on the Lord and we meditate on the things of God, we can have renewed strength. We can have the blessings of God manifest themselves. But it says, "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage." To wait, when we wait in obedience like a servant, waiting for the master to tell us what to do, in hope like an heir, we just have a portion of what's promised us, but we're waiting for the rest of our inheritance. And we wait in expectation as believers because we know God's word is true. And it says to be of good courage. You know, that's a soldier's motto. Be of good courage. We all need courage because we are in the army of King Jesus. He is our leader, and we are fighting the good fight of faith, and we need courage, especially in these last days with the onslaught that is starting to come up against truth and against God's word. They don't like anything. I just read an article. I didn't mean to say this, but I'll just say it. In Canada, the Christian schools in Canada can no longer, I wished I would have planned it because I'd have remembered. Galatians there where it talks about the works of the flesh and fornication and adultery and witchcraft and all. They cannot allow that scripture in any form on the campus because people will be offended. There was another two or three scriptures that they cannot in written form or verbal form say on a Christian campus. So we're going to need good courage in this last days. And so how do we get that? We need to wait upon God, meditate upon his word, let him strengthen us. What will God do for those who wait on the Lord and are of good courage? He'll strengthen thine heart. A strong heart makes a strong arm. When you're depressed and in the mully grubs and woe is me, blues, despair, agony on end, you don't want to do anything, go anywhere, much less fight. But when you're strong in heart, you can fight the good fight of faith. You can do things that amaze you. I did that. I mean, it's amazing when we feel strong, when we feel that the Lord is with us. To wait on the Lord means to depend upon the Lord, not yourself. Thank God if I had to depend upon myself for all of my strength and my good, I would be blues, despair, and agony on end. But to wait on the Lord is to trust and confidently anticipate that he's going to come through. He will come through. You know, I looked at what happened with David when he patiently waited on the Lord in Psalms 41 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. He said, I waited patiently for God to help me. He listened and heard my cry. That's where when we had the service and we were, I can't think of the word, to cry out to God, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That doesn't fall on deaf ears. We have a God that can hear. Not only can he hear, but he will help us. You know, the miry clay is that sinking place. There's nothing solid. There's nothing stable. I hate that kind of place where nothing seems, you just feel like you're floating around and nothing's tangible. But he lifted him out of the pit of despair and out of the bog and the mire and set your feet on something solid. Nothing like, oh, I'm on solid ground. There's nothing like that feeling, the stability, and there's a security in it, and we need that. And he'll steady us so that we can walk this good way in which he has asked us to walk. We can walk and be steady. He will, you know, we will never, ever wait for God in vain if we wait. If we wait. David, throughout the whole psalm, stated that his trust was in God and God's power to deliver him. Now, you're not going to go, I'm not going to go to, if I want my refrigerator fixed, I'm going to call Brother Azale because I know he knows what he's doing. So when you know that whoever you call has the ability to do it, there's a confidence. Why would we call on someone who you don't think can come through for you? You got to know where to go. And we know the who's who. David is confident that all who wait on the Lord will not be ashamed. They're not going to be ashamed. We're not going to be ashamed that we held the banner of the Lord. We're not going to be ashamed that we've held truth all these years. We're not going to be ashamed. He's going to come through. We're not going to be disgraced because we have lived for him and held his banner and because we have called on him. We have a wonderful God. What happens to those who wait upon the Lord? In Psalms 37 and 34, it says, wait on the Lord and keep his ways, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Wait on the Lord and keep his ways. We're not just sitting and twiddling our thumbs. What a waste of time. We're to keep his ways. We're to do his work. We're to minister to others. We're not just sitting there, oh, hum, hum. No, we're going to keep his ways. We're going to do his work. We're going to do what we know to do. We're going to pray. We're going to fast. We're going to visit the sick. We're going to have Bible studies. We're going to do what we know to do until he comes. Don't be impatient for God to act. Keep traveling steady on his pathway. And in due season, he will honor and bless and come through for us. Oh, that little tiny word. You know, it's a four-letter word. We hate four-letter words. W-A-I-T, wait. It's so small. So easy to say, wait, 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 wait. But then when we got to do it, it is not easy. It is not an easy word. But if you're going to live by faith, if you're going to live according to the word, let me tell you, you will wait. You will wait. What will God do for those who wait for him? One of the things he's going to do is in Proverbs 20 and 22. Say thou not, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Have you ever been wronged and hurt? You know, let me hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle. Don't repay evil for evil. Wait for God to handle the matter. And, you know, I've seen people try to defend themselves, and they've just gotten deeper and deeper until all of a sudden we didn't even know what the original thing was. Just hold your peace. Let God fight your battle. Say thou not, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. He will. Wait on the Lord. The short warning here is do not take personal revenge. God will fight for you. You know, like a parent, well, you want to get somebody riled up, touch their kid. And God is a much better parent than we are. The disciples look to God to right the wrongs. No matter how long he must wait for divine intervention, you just wait. God works everything out, not just for my good, but for their good. They're his child as well. And so he's going to work this situation out if we just hold our peace, wait on him, do the things we know to do, pray, look in the mirror, what do I have to change? And God will fight for us. Faith says, I know God will save me. I know God will come through. Isaiah 25 and 9 says, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. Number one, you got to claim him. You got to claim him. Sister Rice, her husband, always says, why do you say my Jesus? We have to claim him. We have to say, that's my God. Yes. He's not some elusive thing. Oh, there goes a father. There goes my father. Big difference. Big difference. Lo, this is our God. And we have waited for him, and he will save us. this is the Lord. The Lord, the Almighty, the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, benevolent God. My God, that's who I'm describing. And we have waited for him, and he will be glad, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Whoa. This is our God in whom we trust, for whom we've waited. Now at last he's here. And boy, when he's here, be like when my husband used to come home. You know, I'm kind of was the disciplinarian. I was like barking orders all day. No, no, you too long. But my husband comes through the door. Woo! Didn't they, Richie? They loved when their daddy came home. Oh, Sharon. They're not so. Don't. Because he had mercy and compassion. Of course, he wasn't with them all day. But when Daddy came home, there was a day of rejoicing. They were like, woohoo. You know, I'd say, you got to whip them. Why am I? You got to whip them. We'd go and take them in the room, hit the bed with the belt a couple times. They'd go running out and go upstairs laughing when Daddy comes home. Regardless of what happened in our present and all the uncertainty of our future, we are to hold fast to an unchanging, loving, merciful, powerful God because we know we can depend upon him. And we know that someday he's going to bring all of this nonsense that's going on. It's going to stop. Just stop. What should we do while we're waiting for the Lord? In Psalms 130 and 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait. In his word do I hope. What a wonderful word that is, hope. That would be an enormous study just there to talk about having hope. When there's no hope, why fight? Why get up in the morning? Why do anything? But we hope. Look at the repetition in 130 and 5. My soul waits again. My soul waits. He's trying to get through to us that we need to just chill out and relax a bit because this is part of the process to wait. It's just part of the process, and we've got to wait on his time. Waiting is beneficial. And let me tell you, waiting will try your faith. It'll show if you're a man or a mouse. It'll reveal what's in you. It'll exercise your patience. It trains us in submission. I told you, just sit there and wait. Are we submitted? Are we just going to jump up and run? Waiting. Oh, boy. And it endears us to our blessing. You know, it's like Christmas. Anticipation. The sooner. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. You know, when somebody hands you something, and we don't mean to do it, but easy come, easy go. But when you've waited for something, and you waited, and you waited, when you get it, it's so much richer. It's so much sweeter. There's an and you endear it. You cherish it more. You guard it. There's something about waiting. The Lord's people have always been a people that waited. They've cried, they've prayed, and they've waited. What makes us think that he's going to treat you and I any better than he treated those in the Old Testament or back when? What makes us think that we're so all-fired special he's going to make an exemption for us? Well, he loved them and made them wait. He loves us. He's going to make us wait. God loves us, and we never should question that. We're still in 130 and 5, and it said, "And in his word do I hope." This is the source of strength. Really, we can draw strength in waiting sometime because it builds something in us. And what do we wait on? Like we talked about, what we meditate on, that pure, that eternal, word of God. Those that don't hope, like I said, can't wait. I read once about two Jewish men. They were waiting in the cold of the winter for a bus to come. And they waited and they waited and they waited. And finally, the one Jewish man looked at the other and he said, "This is like waiting for the Messiah." He said, "I think I'll just walk home." And the other guy said, "No, it's not the same." He said, "The Messiah, that's a sure thing. He's going to show. Now, he might tarry, but that's a sure thing. The bus, it could show, it may not show. It could have broke down. It could have got caught in the snow. That maybe you can question, but we can never question whether the Messiah is going to return. We just don't know when, but that's a sure thing, and we can stand on a sure thing. If our faith is true, we will wait for the Lord's timing. We will wait. And while we wait, we will study His word. We will believe His word. We will hope in His word. And we will live the word. We will live the word while we wait for Him. Not twiddle our thumbs. Not be, oh, you know how long I've been here. This is horrible. You do something productive in the kingdom of God while you're waiting, because He's coming. He's coming. Don't question it. We do this because it's God's word, and God's word never, ever, ever, ever speaks in vain. God says what He means. He means what He says. If He says He's coming again, He came the first time. We believe that because we've seen it. He said He will come again. And we as His people, as His children, He's like, just wait. I'm coming to get you. I'll be back. God's word is a firm foundation for a waiting soul to rest in. What is one of the things that we're waiting for besides Him? What's one of the things that we think we're waiting for? I thought, what is it? And I looked up one of them because I really couldn't think at first. Sorry. But I looked up Romans 8, 23 and 25. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We're waiting for the redemption of this body. Abraham Lincoln, I hope I get it right. Abraham Lincoln once said, "We are all assaulted by the silent artillery of age." He's assaulted me. Time has assaulted me. I got it wrong. We are all assaulted by the silent artillery of time. And time will assault you. Like, my grandkids will look at some, and they're like, "Grandma, are you sure that's you? You know, the pictures when I show, you sure that's really you? Who is this imposter?" I said, "Yeah, that's me." Paul knows that the life of a Christian is often accompanied with suffering, with distress and everyday living, the struggle of life, the pressures of life, the pain of sickness, the affliction of discrimination. You know, even persecution, we're going to see a lot more persecution. He knew that was there and on the horizon, but we have to have hope that there is a day where there's going to be no more sickness. There's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more of all of this struggle. And we need to hope for that, not give up, lay down, and cry uncle. No, we're going to fight the good fight of faith because we have a promise that there's going to be a redemption of this body. We wait anxiously for the day when we get everything that God has promised us, not just this, we just have the earnest of our inheritance. We're going to get it all, including that new body that he's promised us. Bodies that are never going to be sick again and that will never die. We're saved. That hope can keep us saved. Can keep us saved. And trusting means looking forward to getting something that we don't have yet. We don't have it, but we're going to have it if we wait. For God, for a man who already has something doesn't need to hope and trust in that he will get it. But if we must keep trusting God for something that hasn't yet happened, it teaches us to wait patiently and confidently. Who are we waiting for in Scripture? In 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We should wait for the return of the resurrected Savior. I've heard that. Well, they heard that too. And then upon hearing it, they had 400 years of silence. Waiting. Well, you and I are waiting for the Lord. Christ will come back. In this word for wait here in 1 Thessalonians, to wait, it means to await someone with patience and confidence, with expectation. We're waiting for him. Are we really looking, though, with expectation? The Lord could come today. The Lord could come today. You know, I'll have people call me and they're like, I'm coming through. I'm on my way to Florida. Do you think I could stop by? Well, when are you going to be here? I don't know. I might get there Wednesday, Thursday. Depends if I stop in Virginia to see my aunt. Maybe latest it's Saturday. Well, I don't wait for Saturday to get ready. I'm like, they're coming. They're coming. They could show up on Wednesday, could show up on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. We get ready. We anticipate the coming. So we do whatever we are to do to prepare for it. I don't know that we live in an expectation that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to come back again. We think it's a distant future. And I tell you what, we don't really pray for it. We need to pray for it because the young people aren't. Sitting with my grandkids. Man, I hope the Lord don't come this year. You know, I want to graduate. I want to drive a car. Maybe he'll wait till after I get married. Maybe I'll wait till after I have a... They're not praying, come Lord Jesus. They're not. So you and I got to do it. Because we know that this world at its best is nothing but a struggle. Once you get the car keys, it's all fun and games in the beginning. But then they'll say, hey, can you run to the store and get me? Do I have to do it? All of a sudden, the anticipation isn't there. You know, you can't wait to get married. And then the work. Oh, boy. Then you want a baby. And the work. And the sleepless nights. Oh, boy. So they're not praying for it. You and I got to pray, come Lord Jesus. Come take your bride away, because the world dupes us into thinking that somehow this world is just going to get better and it's all going to be, but it's not. We have a hope in Jesus Christ. I don't know where I am. We were made for God's heavenly kingdom. And in that kingdom, it tells us that there is a time where time will be no more. We won't have to wait. Everything will, I don't know how it'll work, but we won't have to wait. But in the meantime, time is our lot. Time, in a way, seems like it's a curse for us, but it's not a curse. It is a blessing. It is a blessing. Time is the womb in which God has chosen to fashion and transform us into his likeness. He never makes us in a microwave. Hurry. Give me a leader. give me a saint, give me a disciple. We're always put in the slow cooker. Slowly, slowly, never gets faster though. We're all waiting, transforms character. Character is not made quickly. You can lose it quickly, like your integrity, but it doesn't, it's not made quickly. You look at Moses. He was brash and impetuous, and he killed the Egyptian, and God had to say, there's some things you need to learn. I'm going to set you on the backside of the desert for about 40 years and let you tend sheep in order for you to develop into the humblest man that he became. Character. Oh, we're in the womb. We see when a baby is in the womb of the mother, it develops, it grows. We're in this spiritual womb and we're growing and maturing, and hopefully we develop properly. Let God make us into what he wants us to be. Waiting involves taking action at the right time. You know, a farmer doesn't till the fields, sow the seed, and reap the harvest all within, you know, dusk to sundown. There's a waiting process between a lot of those things. It's not all just done in one instant. God's in the business of growing a spiritual harvest in our life, and that's going to take time. And when we relax, just relax. We got to go through it anyway. Are we going to go through it biting our nails, fretting, carrying on? Are we just going to relax? Hey, let me tell you, I should get off my thing here. I was in the office one day by myself, and I locked my phone and my keys right on that front desk. I know what hell's going to look like. It was right there, but that pane of glass. And it was, when I say torrential rain, torrential. I could not go outside. I didn't know if I could walk somewhere. There's no pay phones. Then if I found someone, I'm in a day now. I don't know anybody's phone number. I couldn't even say call my daughter because I don't know anybody's phone number. All now I know, I push a button. So I'm in the church, and it's getting later and later. And it's torrential rain. Then if I go out, I can't get back in because I don't have my keys, don't have my phone. So I said, calm down. I found a flashlight in the usher's closet. I found a sweatshirt in the lost and found. I took a book from the, matter of fact, I probably need to pay Sister Lisa because I read the whole book. Finally, it was getting dark. And I was like, oh, God, hear my cry and deliver me. I read a second book. And all of a sudden, I see a light from this door. And I come dashing out. And it's Brother Brian and Brother Ethan. And I'm like, oh, God, save me. And he said, what are you doing here in the dark? Because I didn't know how to turn the lights on in here. Waiting. Now we can go through it with torture, or we can go through it with say, let me make the best. I read two books that I would have normally not had time to read. So it was worth it all. It was worth it all. You know, they say, God, you can choose whether you want to be a mushroom or an oak. A mushroom comes up overnight, poof, and it's gone. But an oak tree, let me tell you, Texas has them old gnarly oaks. It takes them years to grow. But you can't bring one of those things down. What do we want to be? A mushroom? I used to say to my husband, you man or a mouse? I should have said, are you a mushroom or an oak? You know, what are you? We want to be an oak tree. We want something that's solid and stable and has some stability and that's going to last the storm. It's going to last and be depended upon. The good news is he never, ever, ever said, you stay there and wait all by yourself. He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. And he will help us. And we can sit and it not be a waste of our time. He's always with. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to be there with you. I hope I can read this. I wrote it in red. Joshua, did I give you this? Joshua 23:14. It says, not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word has failed of all the good things the Lord your God promised concerning you. God's made a lot of promises. And he's a promise keeper. He's a promise. He's not like us. Oh, I promise. Oh, well, I. No, he comes through. He's a promise is the assurance that God gives his people so we can walk by faith while they wait for him to work out the details of that promise. He's a promise keeper. We can depend on him. The hard part of the waiting is between the promise and the answer. See, we want to have all the details. What time are you coming? What's this? What's that? What's that? We want all the details. And if we don't have all the details, then we just can't make it through. You know, if Sarah just would waited on the Lord instead of manipulating, she would have just waited. There would have been less problems. We need to just, he's not going to give us all the details. He's just going to say, wait. And so we need to have the confidence. He said, wait, I'm going to wait because he's going to come through. We're waiting. Even harder, you know, just the uncertainty. We don't like that feeling of uncertainty. We want to know. Give me the facts about what's going on. Not knowing crushes us. We doubt because we just don't have the details. But we need to know our God, he'll come through and we're going to wait. We're going to wait. I got to skip some of this. And we need to remember promises. Some of the promises of God come with an if. If you do this, I will do that. They come. You know, like someone once said, in James 1:4, it said, God would grant us wisdom, but we have to ask for it. A kid said, you know, I always ask God for wisdom, but I'm not getting it. I said, or he said, my mom said God would give me wisdom, but I don't think I got it. I said, do you ask him? No. Well, then you got to ask. Some things we got to do on our part. But we're going to have to just close here. They're giving me the sign over there. But I did the last week, even before I knew that this was the lesson, this song had been on my mind. It's about the Lord coming. And it says, the first time you came to a stable long ago, they pushed you aside as they really didn't know. And who had come to their world to save and to heal. So they followed you and your cross to the top of the hill. The minutes seemed like hours and hours like days. And I don't know how long we've waited, but it seems like it's been always. Just to think the Lord of glory came in flesh like a man. And the only thanks he got for coming was the nails in his hands. But the chorus says, but it's going to be different the next time you come. Wait and see. You've got a lot of lonely children, and one of them is me. You know we want to see you, though we're never really at home. So if you're waiting to be invited, Lord Jesus, please come. Let's invite him to come, but while we're waiting for that invitation to be honored, let's do the things we know to do. Let's live for him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And let's be comfortable in the wait. He's working something out. He's wanting us. We're going to rule and reign with him. And he's preparing us. He's taking the rough edges off. He's getting all the gunk out of us. And he's helping us to be ready for when he comes. And it's going to be a day of rejoice. It's going to be worth it all, people. Every long mile, every trial, every wait, it's going to be worth it all. Let's have a great service today. Let's pray that we have someone today that has waited a long time and cried on God, and he's going to answer their prayer today for them in Jesus' name.